You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. We've seen an upsurge in youth activism since the tragedy at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. It's come as a surprise to many people, but if you've ever been to a Youth Speaks poetry slam here in the Bay Area, you know young people have a lot to say.
Hi, my name is Aaliyah Shell.
I'm six years old.
I live on 3100 South Springfield Avenue.
I always hear shots fired.
I don't know what that means.
It was March 17, 2012.
Mommy was making my hair pretty.
We were on the porch.
Me, Mommy, and my sister. She's two.
A truck came by.
Not the ice cream one.
This one was mean.
So tell me about yourself.
Anthony Gagliardi, 18-year-old male from Marietta, Georgia.
Which is a fancy way of saying suburbia.
Father was born in Italy, then moved to Long Island, New York at a young age. Mother was born and raised in Augusta, Georgia, but her side of the family is from either Ireland or Scotland. I always get them confused.
Which is a white person's way of saying he's white.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May peace be upon you, who goes home and kisses your mother on her cheek and tucks your little sister into bed.
Who probably doesn't know that the woman whose face you spray painted
go home
over is also a daughter.
A sister, a human, who refuses to believe that even though she was born and raised in this country, her modesty and ideology make her foreign, alien, dangerous.
A threat to freedom.
The very freedom you're stripping her of.
Those are the voices of young people performing with Youth Speaks, an international organization with more than 200,000 participants. It's dedicated to literacy through spoken word poetry. These poets have shined a light on mental illness. They've explained food insecurity and immigration, navigated the twisting paths between religions and historical moments. The organization has grown rapidly since it was founded back in 1996 here in San Francisco, and it has a new executive director, Christy Johnson Limon. She took over from the group's founder, James Cass, last month. Christy was born and raised in San Francisco's Mission District, earned degrees at UC Berkeley. She worked in politics and most recently led a Renaissance for Destiny Arts in Oakland. In February, Youth Speaks launched one of its most ambitious projects yet, a video program called The Bigger Picture. The project uses youth voices to fight type 2 diabetes, which has reached epidemic proportions in young people. Christy Johnson Limon sat down with KALW's Ben Trefney.
Before I received my MBA, I actually was a public school student here in San Francisco and came up through the arts. Growing up in the Mission District in the late 80s and the 90s, it was a pretty violent place. One of the pieces around my background is, you know, I went on to UC Berkeley, and my brother, who grew up in the same household, went on to state prison. And so growing up in the same household with the same set of parents, why did we have really different outcomes? I believe it was largely through the arts and having that practice that gave me the tools that I needed for grit. And at Youth Speaks, that's what we do, and that's why I fundraise and why I have a team of people who fundraise in order to bring this really important outlet and resource to those schools and communities that have the least access to this. Because we know that when we have the arts in the classroom, these programs in the schools, these young people's pathways are changed invariably. And they're able to make better decisions, think critically, and feel like someone cares about them. And that makes the biggest difference, I think, in a young person's life.
And there's obviously a lot of people who are involved with Youth Speaks now, and there are audiences who you guys reach. Who do you think you're not reaching right now? I mean, you have fresh eyes also to look upon this organization.
Absolutely. One of the disconnects I see both here in the Bay Area, but across the nation, is this growing divide, both politically and socially. One thing I've observed that's common in the work that we're doing is we're not really reaching folks in our rural communities. We're not having conversations or meaningful dialogue. And so we've seen the numbers in terms of where some of the more progressive communities are located, which are in the more urban areas across the country, the 11 sort of major metropolitan areas. And I believe that there is a conversation that could be had where we're inviting folks who are coming from different parts of the country that isn't quite happening. And so that, to me, is the big gap.
Well, let's talk a little more deeply about that project, The Bigger Picture, looking at type 2 diabetes, but putting it through filters that seem like they're really going to reach young people. So tell me about this campaign, which is a partnership with the New York Times and also UCSF.
Yes, the Center for Vulnerable Populations. And so one of the videos in particular, I think, that we recently released really speaks to this culture change that we're talking about. It was based out of Stockton, a young man whose father was a farm worker. And he talks about this, the socioeconomics of farm workers not even being able to afford the very produce that they're picking, and therefore do not have access to that healthy food, and really unpacking sort of the economics and the social issues behind the behaviors that folks are being blamed for doing, rather than really taking a look at the context of what's actually driving the behavior.
So this is the one by Anthony Orozco, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so he goes by Joker. And like you said, he's from Stockton, born and raised. We're going to listen to a little bit of this. This is called Empty Plate.
From 1962 to the end of the Delano Grape Boycott, Cesar Chavez led a movement against agricultural inequality. The United Farm Workers of America empowered Mexicanos bent over from Bakersfield to Lodi, standing united against the mistreatment of the people responsible for feeding this nation. Abuela y abuelos.
So that one there was based in Stockton. Let's listen to another one. This was from a video featuring an MC called Frack, who won a previous Youth Speaks Olympic competition. And this is a song called Candyman, a little different pace.
They call me sugar and honey. It's like they really love me, but I'm just looking for money. You're just the way they're hungry. Disguised behind dextrin and fructose, dextrose and glucose. Invisible when I'm too close. They advertise me with athletes and celebrities, hidden behind bodies too pristine for my recipe. I'm targeted to low-income teens. Start the habit, spark the addict flowing in your bloodstream. They raise the price on fruits and veggies, but cheapen me.
So I see your head bobbing as we're listening to that one there, and then he's spitting science.
Absolutely, and I believe, again, that's the beauty of the diversity of perspectives that our young people bring to the work, and it's really, you know, coming from their particular experience. Frack just dropped an album, actually, and he is one of our poet mentors. I just saw him at a slam bout in Richmond, where we're looking again for that next set of voices that will carry the organization into the future.
So you're part of this next generation. What do you think that Youth Speaks needs?
I believe that there's a little bit of a lack of leadership that reflects those communities that we want to serve. And so if we can address that, then I think we can really get behind how we start to amplify audiences and really create programming that resonates with that changing demographic that we're seeing, a change maker in the sense that we can inform and really start to build that pipeline of leaders that are up and coming. And a lot of them, I want to say, are ready to take their turn leading and really figuring out how we create more inclusive platforms and engage audiences in really different ways in the communities that we're in.